And welcome to the Dice to Screen podcast.
Woo!
Hey, I like that. Hey, it's me, Randy, and
Mike.
Who are you?
Well, yeah.
You're the Mike.
I'm okay. Asked that a lot.
You beat me to it.
Expect no less from the slowly collapsing binary star system of gaming podcasts.
It's depressing, but it's happening. So,
the twinkling lights are about to go out.
The only thing that beats being there at the beginning is being there at the end. So. Hey, welcome to it. Today, we're going to be talking about some topic, and that topic is going to be the awful green things from outer space, which was a Tom Wham classic back from the early 80s and the glory days of DSR. So, hey, we're just going to talk about this one because it was a fascinating game that jumped two companies and various medium. It actually, it didn't get into electronic video gaming, but it is still around today, and you can get it from around there. But it was one of the classic games of that era, and it was one of those where, hey, the gang's not here, let's play this.
Yes. This was the beer and pretzel games era, okay? Yeah. And Tom Wham, whom at some later date, we will do a meta-narrative on some of the fantastic creatives and luminaries of TSR. Can't say exactly when, but it will happen. But Mr. Wham deserves singular credit for being one of those amazingly creative, also remarkably talented in terms of clarity of vision, effectiveness of like the mechanics of board game play, and having a fantastic sense of humor at the same time.
Oh yeah, and also an artist. Yeah. I mean, not a super hyper detailed
you're not getting Frazetta covers here, but like
you're not going to get a Larry Elmore. Like every leaf has been painstakingly and lovingly highlighted. Okay, love you, Hillary, but man, those little illustrations, and he did a variety of games. But today we're just going to focus it on the awful green things of outer space, which if you've ever watched late night movies, you might have caught one called Green Slime. And oh boy, if you've seen that one, you know what we're talking about here. And this is definitely it. One-eyed mutant bioforms that just will not stop growing and regenerating. Even if you cut them into pieces, they can regenerate. And that's what it is. It's a wacky little board game, and it got its start in Dragon Magazine. In July 1979, for those who keep track. And it was so popular, people kept asking more, that TSR published a box set in 1980. And with it was a little comic that said what the ship, the Zutnar, which, yeah, you go figure, and its crew of crazy little funny peoples.
Yeah, a bunch of weird little aliens. Like, you're all aliens.
Yeah, you're just, little, you know, and it's kind of like a Star Trek thing where you're on there, you know, and you're just doing your little thing, exploring the universe. And they stop at a planet, and they bring up the awful green things from outer space, and they start growing and taking over the ship. So this is primarily for two players, but they do
provoke... like Tribbles, but gross.
And angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are here to stomp out all other life forms.
Yep, it just spreads unchecked until it chokes out everything else aggressively. So, yeah.
So it came with a map of the ship, and of course, it has the captain and various crew members, and the chief and the mechanics, and you have to have them to do various stuff. It's all die six resolution, and the green things. They start, the player that's going to play them starts out with mature ones, and then there are eggs that are growing. And then there are the babies. Kill the babies. Kill them all. Yeah, there's the babies. The babies. And that's what you use to replace the losses as the green things player. So as the green things player, your strategy is to spread out through the ship and move eggs into the new areas so you can keep growing. And you can also have pieces if one dies. Pieces can reform. So each crew member has basically three statistics: attack dice, a constitution, and movement allowance. Now, you would say, okay, well, this sounds like a pretty easy to go... This sounds like it's a pretty easy to do, little fast paced shoot 'em up. It's not, because the Zubnar is just a ship that's on a peaceful exploration purpose. So there are some weapons. There is a stun gun, which later get a ray gun, which gets renamed to a stun gun. But the hypodermic, the can of Zogwurz, which I don't know what Zogwurz is, but apparently it's also a soda that has an adverse reaction on it.
Well, we know that the only thing we know about it is that the awful green things do not like it. So it does constitute a weapon. Which is one of the wonders of this game in the imagination of Tom Wham, is that you don't get your standard weaponry. Like, you know, how much more normal would this game have been if it had just been, you've got laser pistols and, you know, little Star Wars-y
lightsabers, yeah, guns and weapons, you know.
This is all about, like, you know, like a massive oncoming thing, and you are just hacking away and blasting. No. No, not that level of dignity for you.
Yeah.
You are going to be flailing about with whatever is lying around at the
fire extinguisher. You can use one dose of rocket fuel to douse an area, but then...
You can purge a room, but it's gone.
Yep. Some of them have multiple use. You can use it again, like the knife, the pool stick, and all the others. So yeah, you have to round up the weapons, which are set outside. And then I think the captain starts with the ray gun, and... of course, the doc does. And then there's Leadfoot the robot, which, warning, warning. You know, I always love to boot
around. Danger, danger, Will Robbins.
So the crew can fight with their bare hands, however, but it's not good because the green things are tough in combat. And of course, the movement, the game phase is grow, which is fragments can mutate into babies, eggs can go into babies, babies can then grow into adults to replace losses. But you have a finite amount of counters, which is an economy of sorts that the green things player has.
Yeah, it's very much, this is one of the things that hauntingly reminded me of, you know, I look at the differing styles of play between, you know, Protoss and Zerg and StarCraft. Yeah. Like you have to think and plan a different way when you're playing the Zerg. You know, this is much earlier, of course, but if you were playing the awful green things from outer space, you did have to play strategically in a different fashion than the other player. So I liked it. Imaginative.
And also, like the weapons, like some of the weapons, like the knife, the pool stick, they have a set reaction, but other ones like the can of Zogwurz, the fire extinguisher could cause them to grow.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And then, like the, you know, some of them are very powerful, like the dose of rocket fuel that can be prepared and tossed at them is five dice. You roll five dice, they kill them, and they're not particularly tough. Gas grenade, you know, which also five dice to stun. So stunned green things can't move or attack, so you can move through that area if you need to get to a place. And it slowly becomes... and attritional as you go through the weapons and find out which ones work, like the comm beamer, you know, apparently radio waves can affect them or whatever. And of course, you know, your bottle of acid, you throw it at them, oh, they grow, but I don't even understand this. But so the crew's fighting for their survival. And at first, the game seems as pretty one-sided, like the green things aren't very tough physically, but they regenerate. So any of them that aren't killed are then fully formed, or the pieces of them become babies, and then they grow into adults the next turn. So they're constantly replenishing the numbers, and pretty soon, yeah, they're taking over the whole ship. It's inevitable the way this is set up. So that's a very good design mechanic. And so then the idea is to set the ship, the majestic Zutnar has to be set to self-destruct.
Well, that's one of the victory options.
Yes.
Okay, that's the other thing I did want to highlight here, is that there are differing ways to win, okay? for the player, obviously there is one path to victory for the awful green things from outer space, and that is to choke out all other life on the ship. That is their victory parameter.
Yep.
Now, victory parameter for the other player is different, which is fascinating. Okay, it's not just like the absolute extinction of these creatures is your only victory. You must retake the ship. No, you can escape the ship, or you can destroy the ship, or you can wipe.
Yeah,
out
you can. The awful green things. You just decide like a pyrrhic victory. Yep, nobody wins this. Boom.
And that technically is a path to victory, you know, although I believe the points assessments are doled out.
Yeah. So, and then
if you have the point assessments to win, there is no harm in just saying, I'm going to blow the ship up and I'm still going to win.
It's like it's got its built-in timer, and the built-in timer is how well the green things player is doing versus the antics or... flailing attempts of the crew. And whimsically, the crew is basically a bunch of inepties. They're not very good. They barely got the ship off the ground. You know, it was a big thing that like, yay, we all did it. But you know, this was their crowning achievement, and of their interstellar civilization is they have a great ship that can travel the stars and explore now.
And these are the clowns they put on that wonderful, wonderful ship.
So they're doing their best, okay? But Leadfoot, the robot, you know, he tries. He tries. He's just not fast. He is a good combatant versus them, though. whoop the snot out of those green things.
He is loyal as old Bob.
Oh, yeah. Loyal as old Bob. If you know that reference, you're old.
Yeah.
Or you really watch some crummy movies, so. But yeah, there's an interesting timer. Like, ostensibly, you're going to realize as a player that you can't win this scenario. Now, maybe through some luck and some really good rolls, you can get it under control.
It's possible. Okay, it is possible. But because it is a very high threshold to meet, there are alternative paths to victory, which... Oh, man, bless you, Tom Wham.
Yeah, so the timer is like when they're starting to take over half the ship, you realize that you're doomed. So now you got to set the self-destruct mechanism, which is a whole series of things. You need to control the bridge and the engineering area and the computer science lab. You need to control all three of those for one turn, one turn, and then start the process. Then you have to move all the survivors to the escape pods, which are several vehicles that you can get on the map, and then get everybody there and eject. And then there's a post phase that you can play, which determines if they survive or not, or if there is a green thing on board.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty, so it's just fun so that you can play out and, you know, well, how did they end up? Did they get back? Yeah, they all got back home and then more or less things got back, But ominously, the green thing was growing on one of the capsules, you know, on the outside of it. Little red eye opens up. The game has its own built-in timer, but it's not a set timer. You never know when it's going to win or when it's going to end and how to get through that. And then you have to save your resources. If you go all out and try to nuke or destroy all the green things that you can potentially, well, then you won't have those weapons for the end game if you don't succeed.
Yeah, holding out a little something is always a hot idea.
Well, you know, you can always reuse the knife and the cue stick and the...
Well, yeah, you've got the reusable things, but, you know, the room sweepers, those are special occasion usage only, and you need to be thoughtful about them. Credit due to Mr. Wham once again. This is a game that literally by design unfolds in a very different way every time it is played.
Right, you just never know.
There is sufficient variety to quantify it as a good board game. And you could tell right away that it met that quality because even in its earliest iteration, it was ludicrously popular. And well-liked.
Right. It came out in an edition of Dragon Magazine in the early days.
Yeah.
And people just like it sold out. And then people kept asking, hey, can I just get that game? Can you republish it? And of course, they understood at TSR, Heck, yeah.
That's what we do.
Right, and they gave it a good treatment, and it came with a comic and Tom Lam. Of course, the awful green things from outer space had a comic inside Dragon magazine, but he expanded on it and then put the post game in there, the epilogue. And it sold quite well for a number of years, but in 1989, Steve Jackson Games bought out the rights to it, and they published a slightly cleaned up version, of course, giving Tom Wham the full credits.
Oh, yeah. He was, you know, not mistreated as the chief architect.
Right. But they replaced his artwork, which some people feel is a misuse of the property. I mean, that's a little thing that you could, if you wanted to drum up some controversy. I personally think that Tom Wham's style is unique on his own, and I think they probably should have kept it, but I understand why they had to do it for the reasons that they did, because TSR could potentially come back later and say, we own the rights to that because it was published under an older contract, and, you know, lawyers speak like,
you bought the game, not the art. Yeah. You know, it just, yeah, all kinds of ridiculous scenarios can theoretically unfold in legal scenarios, as we have learned over, in particular, the last decade. You know, we've seen a lot of crazy litigation stuff happen out there in the world. And so, you know, this was something that was a realistic concern mm-hmm. for Steve Jackson Games. You know, like, it was not a perfect friendly relationship between game makers even back then. It just wasn't quite as toxic as it is now.
Oh, yeah.
So that those types of concerns were still present. I have no beef with them for changing the art. And certainly Mr. Wham did not either.
No, but, you know, I was when you're introduced to something on a ground floor, let me dial it in a minute. You give, it dominates your creative and imaginative space. So that artwork style that he has was, and they imitated it very well. I mean, I don't want to say like they covered up, but he had this kind of wiggly line sort of thing, like a Charles Schulz wiggly line sort of thing going on. So that's what I like. But anyway, that's a whole thing. But I said, if you just wanted to drum up some drama or controversy, you could. But at the same time, I'm not into that as much as just like trying to be comprehensive and cover it. But it was that said that if you didn't buy this game, you'll never forgive yourself. And I have the pocket version from Steve Jackson Games somewhere. It's been lost in all these moves. But you can still get it on Fleabay for a decent price. It's not like $200.
Yeah, this is not the like crazed collectible variant version. You're like, oh man, you better break out the checkbook, buddy.
But I do think it deserves a Kickstarter treatment. I do think that it needs to be revisited.
Yeah, you know, I would. This is one of those things that it's kind of a beloved gaming tidbit from the glory days.
Yeah.
The birth of, you know, just that birth of rock and roll moment.
Well, if you also look at the time it came out, Aliens.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Alien, the movie had come out. And pretty much in a way, I mean, yes, it's more like the green slime from outer space movie. It's more like that than it is Alien. But, I mean,
yeah,
their similarities aren't inescapable. I think that Tom Lam saw that and said, you know, they got to get the heck off this ship, you know, because there's this, you know, predatory xenomorph wandering around. No, we'll just give these goofy one-eyed plant biomass creatures that's going to be the monster. There's a lot of them, and they just constantly keep growing. So, yeah, it's a whole thing. And you know, he's just like, you know, the awful green things from outer
space. I blame it on soy products.
So. Yeah, broccoli. But, you know, this is one of those games where luck plays a huge part, you know, how well you roll. If you roll really well in the opening stages when there aren't many green things on board.
This is a board game, okay? This is, you know, some people think in terms of like extreme strategy games where you have a lot more agency. You know, board games, on the other hand, are meant to occupy only, like, at most a few hours, okay? While away a little idle time, have a low degree of complexity, and a high degree of replay value. And, you know, those are just some of the things that constitute a really well-made board game. You know, Tom Wham totally got that vibe. You know, he understood exactly what it was he was trying to make. He didn't go too far one way right. or not far enough the other way. He got it. And he hit the strike zone, which honestly is why people responded to this one the way they did.
Like, just there's just chance this encounter. Sense of whimsy, but yet it can be played despite all the goofy little creatures and artwork.
There is some strategizing, you know, you can have a plan, but the dice also have a huge impact. Like, fortune and randomness will impact upon you in this. So, you know, come prepared to have fun, not to, like, I have the perfect strategy that is guaranteed to win. Yep. Unless you roll this or this. What? What do you mean? My plan is ruined. You know, don't plan too
much. It's like the Guns of August Society would not like this game. But it does get, despite being having a sense of whimsy about it, it gets quite serious at certain points. But where you like feel like, man, this is a, you know, as the Green Things player, man, you've hemmed me in. I'm stuck on this side of the ship now. Yeah, that's my plan. I'm going to keep, you know.
I'm going to partition you.
It's like
resource denial.
It's like they have an overseeing mind. It's like they're all connected to one singular mind. You know, little crew members running around. Oh, no. It's like they know what we're thinking. It's like, yes.
Well, the overmind.
Yeah, so it's
also called the player.
Yeah, that's a meta. Oh, yeah. But yeah, it was well received, and I just think that it's, yeah, Steve Jackson Games kept it in print for quite a while, but, you know, there's a lot of copies out there floating around. You can find even one from TSR for a pretty decent song. However, it is a lot of random luck, but in that, it starts out so simple, you can teach it in less than 10 minutes, the basic premise of the game. You read the little comic, and it gives you the background and how it got started. And after that, you just explain the rules, and you're in. You have a whole experience in a box. And whether you think, like, okay, well, you guys talk about role-playing games. Well, we talk about games, but role-playing games. There is a role-playing sort of element to it. Like, each one of the little guys has a name, and, you know, he's Z-Bok and Captain.
Hey, and, you know, if you're wondering, you know, like, we have always been open to and have discussed board games. And scrolling back through our backlog, you will find discussions on a wide variety of board games, on a couple of specific episodes, and even, like, at least one episode was dedicated specifically to a single beloved favorite. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, feel free to scroll back through, track that down.
Sure. But, yeah, if you catch this one in the wild or you you're at a games booth at a convention or something like that, and you see a copy of that, nab it. You will not regret it. It is a fun game. You can.
Yeah, if you have the same trouble that gamers struggle with worldwide, which is, can we get everybody here this week?
Right.
If you have that problem, then you are a true gamer. I mean, yeah, you live with what we all live with. But this is one of those, like, yeah, let's get this out. There's only three of us tonight.
Yeah, and then afterwards, you know, you end up, you just table the other player. You can just go on, I think Netflix has it, is watch Green Slime. And it's a terrible movie, but it's so bad, it's good. But, you know, you can watch it, and it's just perfectly fine. Have a good night with it. So, yeah, anyway, that'll probably wrap it up. I think that it just needs, we ended it with a Kickstarter request. I mean, if there's one that needs to be resurrected from the grave, this is one that needs it.
Yeah, we're throwing that out into the ether sphere. You know, we just want the, you know, like, just, we're just dropping that.
I'd have no idea how to get started on this, but I think it's a good idea for somebody to pick it up and run with it. Perhaps Steve Jackson Games can be persuaded to, since they own it, probably to do it. They do.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Getting them to resuscitate it and put out a nice new version.
There's some miniatures and stuff. Yeah. That'll be cool.
You know, some cool minis. So here we are. we do have a slight format change to announce.
Yeah, we're going to be doing things a little differently as we're coming up here on the time limit we've self-imposed.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing a shorter time frame episodes, probably about 30 minutes, maybe sometimes a little bit more, maybe 45 minutes if we need to. But just basically covering just a single topic and rambling about it like we did until we exhausted it, which this was a nice little one for us to start with.
Yeah, I think we were able to get out the specific details.
Right. And
everything that really mattered to us in this.
Once a month, we're going to have a much longer podcast. So if you want to just listen to us in the background while you do home repair or, you know, clean out the refrigerator or whatever task that you have to do where you just need somebody to reassure you that there's someone else in the room, then... yeah, we'll be doing that.
Yeah, once a month, dedicated to a much larger meta-narrative topic, and we will have the luxury to use as much time as we want and cover everything we want instead of leaving huge chunks of what we'd like to talk about on the cutting room floor because of time constraints. So our short topics will make up most of our monthly podcasts, with one each month being dedicated to being incredibly comprehensive.
All right,
so. Yeah, that is our new core concept to run with. Just throwing a name out there. Thank you, Merrick.
Yeah.
Discussions with you led to this productive idea.
So, all right.
Yeah, we're really happy about that.
And we really ironed it out. And also, we'll be doing Discord twice a month. So
yes.
Be looking on our Facebook page. We'll have Discord night where you can hang out with us.
Maybe and we'll create some Discord.
Yeah, we'll be. We'll drink, get drunk, and get silly. So, that's going to be this week.
Friends encourage friends to Discord responsibly.
Now, of course, this is going into a time capsule, so when you hear this, it'll probably be too late. But yeah, every other week, just check back with our Facebook page, and I'll have some that possum in a wizard hat fighting the flaming death moose, hell moose, and we'll... That's the most bizarre trail cam Photoshop edit I could ever imagine finding.
Well, if we get this out Saturday afternoon, like if this...
Oh, I have it out today. So.
Oh, brilliant. That's much better than, you know, like...
Yeah, well, I have it out and I'll put up the announcement tonight. I'll put a 24-hour timer on it. And so if you don't have a Discord, get one if you want to join us. And just ask for an invite and we'll invite you to the server and you can... just come on and chat with us or just hang out. And if we get enough people, we'll probably watch a movie or something and do a MST3K send-up of the movie. I think we wanted to do the Neptune Men because that's Sonny Chiba. And we could... Yeah, that was his first movie.
No kidding.
No kidding.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's his first movie. Uh-huh. Or what? I mean, maybe he had a couple other appearances in commercials or something like that.
Oh, sure. But, you know. Sonny Chiba. All right. Yeah, sold me. Yeah,
he's not proud of this one.
I know.
Poor guy. I mean, I hate to sell his memory, but this, you got to pay your dues in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Or in Tokyo, so.
Every actor has got a version of, like, I was young and I needed the money. So.
Yeah. But all right, yeah, so this is our new format, just short and sweet, and each week that allows us to build up a nice back stock of stuff so we can keep in touch with you over the long...
We're separation. Planning to have a much more responsible and consistent year with 2024. And we're looking forward to being there at the, you know, all year long with all of you and more.
All right. So, yeah, we're going to... That ties it up pretty well. Just remember, Discord events, just check our Facebook page. And, of course, we always post up on our Facebook page. So follow us on Facebook. 14.8 billion people, can't be wrong. Well, there's not that many people, but 14.8 billion views can't be wrong. And no, we do not get that, but that's what Facebook...
No. Yeah, 14.8 billion engagements for Facebook.
Yeah, so. That's quite good. But all right, so until next time, may the dice always roll in your favor.
We're out.
See ya.